Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to this Saturday's edition of Exploring Ekphrasis with Captain B2, Simwa, and my trusty sidekick, Pancho. I mean Dan. Sancho Panza.
Little literary reference there. Trusty, yes. Geez, I fooled you, huh?
Yeah, so far.
So far.
I won't ask you to be there because obviously you are. So
I am here, yes. Absolutely, thank you. I was very excited. Yeah, you and I, we got to do a show the other day, or just be guests on a show together for Aphasiana.
Yeah.
That was fun. It was a whole different group. I didn't realize there were so many other groups that do shows, so that was fun to talk to all them and to praise to Aphasiana, and like we discussed in the show, to be able to discuss each other's poems, which we don't rarely get to do.
That was a refreshing change. It was nice to be able to share each other's work, which we don't normally do because we're busy hosting and listening to other people's fine contributions. But I had fun trying to find that show. I called the wrong show. I ended up with Pam and I think Richard Wiseman, and I told him said it was I apologize for interrupting his show and invited him to call today and interrupt ours. So
there you go.
Couldn't figure out where they were holding the party for Aphasiana. You know, it's like going to the wrong house.
Exactly. Eventually you'll find the right one. Just keep calling numbers and one of them will be right.
Hopefully. It is, you know, so many permutations. So
let me do a quick quick talk on the music, and then we'll get right into the stuff we have here.
Yeah.
So that was for those who don't know, it's that was Mannheim Steamroller, an early album of theirs. Most people know them for their Christmas stuff, but that was from 1979. The first bunch of their albums were called Fresh Air, and they had kind of like very nature themes. I fell in love with them in college just when I discovered this album. I think it's Fresh Air 1 through 10. They had the first 10 albums. And I just love it because it's kind of this mix of like almost medieval folk music with electronic stuff. I loved it. So it was Fresh Air 3, and the name of the song was Morning. Fresh Air 3 is one of my Desert Island albums, so I highly recommend it to people if you like that kind of stuff. I think it's just phenomenal. That was fun to put that on here. I thought it had a good feel towards the person we had tonight, which the artist we had. And before we do, just like to, as always, thank Gray, the man behind the curtain, for helping us out. And Ben Hart is on the board. Well, Ben says he's sick of the dog because he was working at a snack bar, and he said he's never going to touch anything fried again. So
that
will teach
him. It's taken
exactly.
Him that long. I'll tell you.
Yeah. And he's in his young 20s. Yeah, wait till you start eating like fried food when you're our age, Ben. Then you're like you're friends with the bathroom for a couple of days usually after that.
Oh no! You can feel your veins and arteries starting to atrophy.
Exactly.
Well, good. I'm glad he's abandoning that habit early on. Fried stuff, no good
yes.
for you. Bad
no
juju.
Good, Ben. Absolutely.
Yeah,
but thanks for listening in.
And don't eat French fries, white potatoes. Also, no good for your glycemic index. You want to eat something fried? Eat fried.
Exactly, and like Frank Zappa says, like Frank Zappa says, watch out where the Huskies go, and don't you eat that yellow snow. So don't do that either.
Oh, I could have lived without that. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I was literally just listening to Frank before I left, so, before I came on. So sorry that one came on. Yes, watch your diet now. Right? This is my dad. Remark for the evening.
Nope.
Start when you're young.
I'm gonna have to start the show by smacking you on the nose with a rolled up newspaper.
That's right. There you go. start your diet. For all those young people listening today, start eating good now. Because when you're in like your 50s, you say I should start eating healthy. That's too late. Start when you're young, and then you'll be good. All right. That's my dad advice for the evening. Anyway, we have lots of fun stuff to talk about tonight. We have some carryovers, though, I think, from last week, don't we?
Not to be confused with karaoke.
Ah, exactly. So, would you like to get right into it?
Yes, please. Let's do that little thing, especially since people have called in to hear poetry and not us rattle on at great lengths about trivial.
I can't promise anybody that that's not going to happen later, but we will try. We'll try to concentrate on poetry. But you never know where we're going to go. All right,
I will
so keep we have
the
some carryovers.
To a minute.
I
will keep the sidebars to a minimum.
I will try as best I can as well, too. So, all right, we have everyone's good friend, Pam Ray. We're going to start with her, and you get the honor, Bobby, of reading hers.
Oh, very good. Okay. All righty. And this, just to remind everyone, these are the carryovers from the previous show, which was the silent digital poetry of Daria Petrilli. So that's with all the female figures. So if you want to hearken back to that contest, you can, and that will... You know, that's where we're getting these carryovers from. So with that, let me open her up here. She and Pam's poem in her memories. She lingers in her memories. Time haunts her. Spectral themes in a polished looking glass. Madness awaits her. The raven is singing dark songs of shadows. Mystery. Where is the girl she once was, lost within the sighs? No one speaks. They only gossip of lost love, of love lost, wandering through fields of planted poppies. She numbs the hurting. A lady in shimmering white, hearing cries of caged birds. They keep her eternal hope tucked beneath black wings. She whispers to the wind outside, murmuring to the oak, growing tall beyond windows leading to the woods. She will rest, fragile and opaque, in a land of music lost in the variables of living gone wrong. Sailing seas of chimeric depths, smoky veils covering thorns that pierce the empty soul forever waiting. End poem.
Excellent read as always, Bobby. And this is a great, great write by Pam. I certainly love Pam's writing. She's poetry herself, so involved in everything. She always has great imagery and emotion in her poetry. So the picture, anybody following along, is the prompt 27, which is a beautiful lady in kind of a nice room, but looking into some darkness in the mirror. And she sees that in this poem. What was it here? I really like, no one speaks, they only gossip of love lost wandering through fields of plenty of poppies. That's really interesting when you do, you know, when you do think back, right? That's one of the things that I think can make you feel bad, right? We all have those times when we look back at our lives and all we can see is the bad things. We can't think of anything good that we've done or that's happened. And instead of thinking of people as conversations, all you hear is gossip, everybody talking about you, and nobody likes you, right? So that's really, really interesting the way she put that. She will rest fragile and opaque in a land of music lost in the variables of living gone wrong. How beautiful is that? Lost in the variables of living gone wrong. That's something you can kind of look at when you look at yourself. You know, this is really talking about kind of depression. You know, you look at yourself in the mirror and you just see that, and it's not true. You know, there's nobody that's like that. That's the thing. I've been through it, you know, times where I just can't think of anything good, where everything just seems hopeless, and it's not true, you know, but there are times when you look in the mirror and you see that. Covering thorns that will pierce the empty soul forever waiting. Really, really kind of beautiful at the end, and again, somebody kind of looking in the mirror and just all they can see is these lingering memories that just, you know, have taken over our life from the past. So very beautiful, Pam, as always. This is very, very deep. Bobby, when you were reading it, what were your thoughts there? Bobby, you are attacked by the mutating monster, I think.
I am. I've been brilliant to the ethers. I really enjoyed this piece. It's a very melancholy piece. She sets the tone with her first stanza. She lingers in her memory. Time haunts her. Spectral themes in a polished looking glass. Madness awaits her. And just it continues that thread through the entire piece. And I like the same stanza you did. She will rest fragile and opaque in a land of music lost in the variables of living gone wrong. That is such a, and her last couple of lines, the metaphors are sailing seas of chimeric depths, smoky veils covering thorns that pierce the empty soul forever waiting. That last stanza is just so poignant. It is a great a finish to this very melancholy story of this woman who is gazing in the looking glass and is not seeing anything positive, just seeing the darkness of her past and of disappointment and of life's disappointments and of things that just didn't materialize her way. So beautifully done, Pam. The queen of metaphors once again springs forth. She's amazing. I mean, she can thread things together that are just so eloquent it's always a joy to read her stuff. So who's next?
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, we have some good things next, but before that, just something from Ben. Ben, he liked the A Lady in Shimmering Weight, Hearing Cries, Caged
and
Birds.
That did get an honorable mention. Yes, it did. It got an honorable mention.
Yeah, Ben liked the line. I just wanted to read the comment from Ben real quick. Ben has liked the line, A Lady in Shimmering Weight, Hearing Cries of Caged Birds. I like that stanza as well, too. And then his comment was, wow, wow, wow. Yes, 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 Ben. That is what I think of this one, too.
Don't hold back, Ben. Tell us how you really feel.
Exactly.
The man, we really have to bring him out of himself.
Yeah.
So shy.
I don't know if that was his comment on that could have been his comment on the poem, but it could have been his comment on what was going on in his stomach at that time from all the fried foods. I don't know which one that was.
I strongly suspect it had nothing to do with anything gastrointestinal.
Let's hope not. All right, so we have a treat. We have our only SoundCloud of the night, which is from last time, from Stelina. So I've posted that, and we'll take a
Let's give it a listen.
Brief pause while that gets played.
All righty. Crank up the gramophone there, Gray. He's still winding the handle. Apparently it's a very slow gramophone. There we go.
She walks through the meadows of her mind, where faded memories wilt like wildflowers. They haunt her soul, which was once a spring, with blossoming hope in vibrant hues. When secrets shared from deep within, in halcyon days of youthful expectancy, when love and laughter fills the hours that charmed her carefree spirit. Like dandelion clocks, wispy and fleeting, these infatuations faded fast while searching for the one rare flower that with each season flourished anew. Then, in her heart bloomed true love. From a tiny bud it gently grew until its petals encompassed her whole, bathing in its beauteous essence, and her joy took flight on the wings of love as she whispered it silently to Mistress Moon, freeing it unto the stars, enhanced by its glow, illuminating her enchanted nights. But then came the rains of inconsolable sorrow, flooding the garden she tenderly nurtured, drowning petals of paradise mid pains of purgatory as she breathed her last and bid farewell.
All right, Stelina, you outdid yourself with that SoundCloud, I got to tell you. Bobby, ladies first.
I zoom too much. I've been a lady for years. I always like Stelina's SoundClouds. She clearly puts a lot of effort into them. She's selecting the music. and what is subtleties that if you've not been exposed to other SoundClouds might escape you, because hers are so well done that the music is an accompaniment. It's incidental to the reading. And it's atmospheric. It adds to the ambiance, but it doesn't overpower the reading, which unfortunately I've encountered some SoundClouds. Wonderful poetry, but the accompanying music is so it's so pronounced that it competes with the reading. So not what you want, but Stellina always does such a splendid job, and that only goes along well with her writing, which in this case we have another very melancholy piece here, as she was reading, I was thinking, oh good, look, that might have a happy ending, and no, she pulled the rug right out from under me. then her heart bloomed true love from a tiny bud. It gently grew till its petals encompassed her whole, bathing in its beauteous essence. And her joy took flight on the wings of love as she whispered it silently to Mistress Moon, freeing it unto the stars, enhanced by its glow, illuminating her enchanted nights. And I'm thinking, great! But then came the rains of inconsolable sorrow. That is such a beautiful line. Then came the rains of inconsolable sorrow, because we've all experienced that grief or sadness or sorrow that is so overpowering that the heartbreak, the grief, the pain is so acute that you swear, if you stood in one place for too long, there'd be a puddle of blood there because it hurts so much. Flooding the garden she tenderly nurtured, drowning petals of paradise mid pains of purgatory. Beautiful alliteration there, not overdone. Drowning petals of paradise mid pains of purgatory. Very nicely done. And she expires in the end, which I'm sorry to hear. But... This is great storytelling. She used one of my favorite words, halcyon. I've always liked that word. I always look for opportunities to use it. Like dandelion clocks, wispy and fleeting, these infatuations faded fast while searching for the one rare flower that with each season flourished anew. There's some great storytelling in here, great, very deep emotion, and it is communicated with such clarity, but with great, you can tell this is a crafted piece. The words are selected to convey just the right nuance, just the right connotation, just the right meaning, which is something I admire about Stellina's work. As you can tell that, you know, it's almost like a quilt where each piece is carefully laid and located to enhance the overall work. So nicely done, Stellina. Thank you for sending this in and for the lovely SoundCloud. And obviously, we really liked this. Because we always
like
her stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. A couple of quick things I want to say is that if you look on her page, everybody should look on the page for this. It's called Farewell to Love. She actually took the time to have the background of that page on her profile for this poem of the prompt.
Oh, yes.
She actually took the prompt,
yeah,
and made it the background, which is,
yes,
really, really impressive.
Yep.
Great job with that.
Her attention to detail is quite evident. She in the way that and I like the way she's combined. She's got half a dozen. She's got six prompts here that she has woven together into a story, and you can see like the like dandelion clocks, and there's your in the upper right corner of the illustration. The image that she's got at the top is the young girl blowing on the dandelion fluff. You can see the story she borrows from each of these images to tell the story. The interpretation of this, the prompts, I enjoy what she's woven together with these. So very nicely done.
Absolutely. And Ben gave us a couple of compliments in the poem and the board. And thanks, Ben. You're one of our favorite poets, and we'll get to yours as soon as we get to the new poems. But speaking of that, let's crank on here. So. Where are we here next? Give me a second. Aha, here we go. So I will read this one. I think I am up. I'm going to post it on the board here.
Yeah. I have to say, though, that it was tough not to give her an honorable mention.
But
we had such stunning poetry with this artist that it was a hellish experience to try and sort them out. I mean, some of them were a whisker's breadth apart.
Yeah, as I said, absolutely, Bobby. As I said before, you know, everybody listening, it's you know how it is here. It's really hard to judge art. You know, there's got to be, there's only one gold, silver, and bronze to give out. We everybody does the best they can in contests. Never let it get you down. We have amazing poets every time. But anyway, let's crank on here. So another one from Carryover. I will read. I just posted, I think. There we go. I didn't post it. It's by Vamp Fiction.
Oh,
called A Thousand. Called A Thousand Paper Cranes, and I'll give that one a read. One second.
May I read that one?
Of course.
Only because I have a connection, an emotional connection with this one. Because
I
has
ain't
to do
please,
with,
Bobby.
Yeah.
Go for it.
It actually has to do with. I actually wrote something similar, I think a year or two ago. But I'll explain. Let me read this first, because she borrows from a story that is not widely known. But I recognized it the minute I started reading it. It's called Thousand
sure.
Paper Cranes by Vamp Fiction. Cherry blossoms flutter and fall. A pink carpet in her Zen garden by bamboo lanterns and bonsai trees. Tiny fingers, crease origami folds. 1,000 paper cranes drifting into peace. Scarred by radiation, skin like cracked earth. Leukemia eating up for the marrow in her bones. But the koi have heard her wishes. And someday she'll be healed and headed home. This antiseptic Hiroshima hospital and mushrooms that have bloomed before will not leave her hope in ruins. These doves were made for bluer sky. Even when the incense smoke rises and gongs sound out as her mother cries, Sadako's rainbow flock of paper cranes will cross vast oceans, taking flight, reflecting sunlight off their fragile wings. Her hourglass sand stands raked, but patterns lie in swirls left behind, ripples that chant to honor her life. Peace is still possible to find. Now let me read her author's note, because this is very important. When Sasaki survived the Hiroshima atomic bomb blast, but at age 11, she was diagnosed with leukemia because of the blast in the hospital. She folded paper cranes, believing that 1,000 of them would grant her wish to go home. She passed away before finishing, but her classmates completed the cranes in her memory. Her story has since become a global symbol of hope and peace. One of Sadako's paper cranes was placed at the 9/11 Memorial in New York City in 2003 as a symbol of peace and hope. And that was her.
Yeah, that,
That was her. That was her author's note. And I'm going to take a little bit of a literary license here, and go to very quickly if I can type that fast. Okay, I wrote something similar, and it's a brevity, so I'm not going to inflict anything long on because people know I can be pretty verbose. My it's called 1,000 Paper Crane or 1,000 Cranes, and this is my piece. Mythic furu of legend, symbolic bird of happiness and good fortune, mystical holy tsuru, whose fabled long lifespan is 1,000 years. Honorable Lord Crane, faithfully follow the manifold necessary creating 1,000 orizuru, that so that you may grant my wish for happiness and long life, keeping my 1,000 orizuru safe, so like Sadako Sasaki, I may make a wish for peace for the world. And there was actually a book written by Eleanor Kerr called Sadako and the 1,000 Paper Cranes. And the story follows the story of the little girl. She survived the bomb blast. And according to Sadako's family, she managed to fold approximately 1,400 paper cranes. Many of the cranes have been donated to places such as 9/11 Memorial in New York City, Pearl Harbor, the Museum of Tolerance, and more places as a symbol of peace. So that when I saw that, I immediately knew what she was writing to. Obviously, I really got into this piece. She took a lot longer to tell the story, but I got into the culture and the Japanese language more because it's just what I do. But I like the way she's done this. Tiny fingers crease origami folds, 1,000 paper cranes drifting into peace. And the crane is considered it's revered. It's considered a symbol of long life in the Japanese culture. So I like the way she ends with her hourglass sand stands raked, but patterns lie in swirls left behind, ripples the chant to honor her life. Beautifully, very touchingly, very deeply emotional piece. They're very nicely done, and that's why she got a bronze.
Yeah, amazing. I never heard that story. I'm going to have to look it up now. That's absolutely amazing. So we have a couple of things on the board here. Stelina is on the board listening. Stelina, again, thanks. That SoundCloud was absolutely amazing. One of your best. Appreciate you on the board. And Ben said, wow, thanks for telling the story, buddy. That could give any human an impulse to live life to its fullest. Absolutely, Ben. Absolutely.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. All right, cool.
You can't depend on me for anything else. I am a trivia treasure house.
There you go. That's right. Someday I will see you on Jeopardy.
Your life will be rich and full before I start talking and just as rich and full after.
You would kick butt on Jeopardy. I want to see you on there someday.
Perhaps. So, okay.
But you would have to give... They expect one-word answers, though. If you go on there, you'd have to answer in one word, Bobby. So,
okay,
Bobby said,
no.
Ben said, you have to have a trivia battle with Ben.
A battle?
Uh-huh. Yeah, have to have a trivia battle. Yeah.
Well, bring your lunch.
That's it.
So you want to attack? Well, you haven't given your opportunity. You haven't given your opinion of the piece.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I mean, honestly, this the biggest thing for me is I really want to learn about this. I haven't heard this story before. A quick thing about me, I'm gathering up all my things I want to read about now. I spent most of my life learning things. This is the way I describe it in some of my poetry. Spent most of my life inputting things. And what I've spent the last like 2 or 3 years, to be honest, doing is outputting. I haven't really read much. I haven't watched television. I haven't really done much except outputted the 50 years of input that I've had. And that's really what all my poetry is. And I've been craving kind of learning again. So the biggest thing I got out of this, honestly, is I just want to learn about this story. I never heard about it, and just, you know, stunned at all the different stories I haven't heard about. But it's beautifully written, and such a sad but loving and beautiful story. And I can understand the, you know, the what the girl was thinking of basically when she was, you know, oh, if I do this, I can save myself. You know, here's how I'm going to fight it. Right. There's nothing she could really do to fight it, but here's this thing I can believe in and I can try to do it and fight it. And such a beautiful story there. And I like
considering dying of leukemia, here is an outpouring. Now this someone could be bitter, but here is an outpouring of peace.
Absolutely.
Her effort. I mean, and it says something culturally also about the Japanese and sometimes the way they handle things with their tranquility and their positive attitude. So it's I'm glad you liked it. So you've posted Lady and the Swan. Are you going to tackle that?
I am. Yep, that's the next one. So from our still from the old contest, this is by Myriad Dark, and I just posted it. It's called Lita and the Swan. What feathered embrace, blindingly bright, an open petal from seeds divine, where boundaries are pushed, as thighs caressed are breached with purpose. She is in vitro by avian and perilous deceit. With languid design, she pushes back, fingers disengaged, to be uncoupled from this swan song state. Thighs once captured, now moist with Cygnus tears. What shaken illusions of bestial grievance. A sacred pact is broken thus. For covenant twixt man and the fowl be defined. A blasphemous resignation in brute regret of forced intention. Her maker, her undoing, now brought asunder neath beak and wile. End poem. Wow. Go for it, Bobby.
Good reading. Good reading. I like the way Myriad Dark has approached the mythology here. This is a subtly sensual piece. I think just about everyone knows the story of Leda and the Swan, and that it was Zeus yet again having his way with another mortal woman. The man was he definitely got around. And in this case, he transformed himself into a swan and had his way with Leda, seduces her, and she bore Helen and Polydeuces as demigods and the children of Zeus. And of course, that, you know, as it always did, pissed off Hera, you know, and everything pissed off Hera. Beautifully told. The story is a very sensual story. It's one of the more erotic stories in the Greek mythology, and it is told here with a great deal of a subtlety and almost lyrically. It leads you through the story without any kind of a brutal graphic picturizations, which I like because it lets you form the story in your mind. And it's a great use of language. This is definitely, but in telling the story this way, it is an exercise and how adroitly can you tell a story that's this sensual. Yet still make it beautiful, make it a glorious thing. Myriad Dark has definitely done this. What shaken illusions of bestial grievance, a sacred pact is broken thus. She is in vitro by avian and perilous descent. There's beautiful use of language. Myriad Dark has flexed their vocabulary quite nicely here, and the prompt they've given a very I think an inspired interpretation of the prompt. So, which was prompt 22. Yeah. So if you are looking back on the previous contest, which I snuck into the board and quickly put the link on there. So if people want to go back to the contest, I do that regularly. I mean, when I'm reading someone's poetry, I absolutely have to look at which prompt they've used, because to me that tells part of the story. So what did you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to go to a couple of board things. So I actually 100% agree with Ben, who says story that always brings unease, because it is a very, like you mentioned, Bobby, it's very dark and it's almost like forced. But she made it so beautiful, dark and sensual as a fine line, but she did walk it. And I agree. What I liked about it was the classical. It is a classical story, and I like the classical feel to this. The way that it was written, it almost feels like an old, like an ancient poem, a blasphemous resignation in brute regret of forced intention, her maker, her undoing, now brought asunder and neath beak and wile. It almost has like an old world feel to it, and I like how she interpreted that. I thought that was amazing. Stellina said dark yet beautiful lines which flow smoothly and such wondrous imagery as usual. I agree as well, too. So it was great, and like I said, it took a dark subject, again, agree with Ben, and really made it just kind of beautiful and lovely to read. So awesome, awesome job here. Already we have, as luck would have it, you're going to continue to be A.R. Mundell's Herald. And we have her up next, which is the last one from the last show. Oh, it's already up. You're way ahead of me. So there, now it's up twice. And you get to read it. You only get to read it once, though, even though we put it up twice there. You can only read it once. But if you are reading right now, I think you're on mute.
Okay. Yes, I was. Oh, you can't hear all the nasty things I said to you.
I can imagine that, though. That I can do.
No, I just said I beat you to the draw.
That's okay. No problem.
We have the last one from the previous contest by Amy. Neutral calm. The ghosts of fighting fish float past. Mulettas fanned. Fanning me to arms. I feel the race of battle call, feel it tingle up my arms. Yet heavy is the sky above. About the depths of kelp green seas, I feel it settle in my blood. Their currents make my seas. Those shivers of my preservation drain to ocean blues, as I wash out with all the reds within to breathe in tanny hues. A neutral calm grows in my bones, new weeds within my beds. I watch them fade to blossom tones as they fade above my head. End poem. And that's written to from 37, which is, as she scrolls madly through the, there we go. I can never scroll. Here we go. Oh yes. This is a very subtle one. This is a picture of a young woman standing amid flowers, but there's koi floating all about her. Very delicate blossoms and little salmon-colored koi, and she's got her back to them. So nicely done. I like this. You look at the picture and you could see where the title comes from, because it is a very calming picture, very serene. The ghosts of fighting fish float past. Mulettas fanning me to arms. I feel the race of battle call, feel it tingle up my arms. Yeah. And it just, this whole brevity is just a beautiful interpretation of the images and the attention to detail in that particular in that particular prompt. So, as always, nicely done, Amy. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I like the ghosts. I'm going to concentrate on that first one as well, too. The ghosts of fighting fish float past, which is really amazing, and especially with neutral calm. Violetta's fanning me to arms. I feel the race of battle call, feel tingle up my arms. That was really, really interesting, but just the idea of neutral calm with the ghosts of fighting fish. So it's basically like in your mind almost that you're seeing this fighting. I also was a fan of the way she rhymed arms with arms, but especially seas with seas, S-E-A-S and S-E-I-Z-E.
Yes.
That makes me very happy.
Interesting.
I thought that was good. And the whole – go ahead, Bobby.
No, because interesting because muleta, I had to look up. Muleta is a Spanish for crutch.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, muletas are crutches.
Yeah, so besides the great imagery here, the composition I thought was fantastic. Just the way it flows.
Oh yes.
I'm always a fan of the way that when it just feels like perfect and it kind of flows beautifully. So I thought that was fantastic. As Stelina said, calm before the end, beautifully expressed. Love the ambience and the imagery strokes the senses. Yeah, it really is. It really was well done and just a beautiful piece to read.
Lovely visual imagery, and she invokes a lot of colors in this. I like that. This kelp green seas, blood ocean blues, reds within, very tawny hues, very nice, very sensory. And you do get that. It's one of those pieces that as you read it, it almost washes over you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So nicely done.
Cool.
And with that, we have
that
wrapped
brings
up.
Us to the new contest. Yeah, absolutely.
To the new contest, which is, let me close a couple of tabs here. I've got a tab festival going at the top of my computer here. I shut some of these down so I don't confuse myself, which I tend to do with annoying regularity. Okay, there we go. And let's open that up. Okay, and with that, we have the black and white illustrations of David Alvarez. My tongue got in the way of my eye teeth. I couldn't see what I was saying. And interestingly enough, people are going to go black and white illustrations, but my header illustration there is all color. And I very deliberately, out of all the images I could find by David, I picked out all the only color ones I could find. I picked out all those color ones and put them on the header because I thought a black and white header would be boring. So I stole all the color ones, which actually are from children's books, and I plugged them in. And I went with that to as an eye catcher, and David is he's a Mexican artist who does mostly black and white. He does children's books. He does advertising. He's quite prolific and quite popular. And if you want to pursue some of his work, I always, as usual, I always put resources at the bottom. He had one personal project called Cage, was forthcoming, but I couldn't find anything on that, so I just left a reference to it. But he likes birds and a little bit of whimsy, and then the darker imagery with people, and so I try to divide them up a little bit with. In the groupings in the prompts with putting the more lighthearted ones first in the bird and animal groupings and then transitioning down into the more somber people pieces that you should see later in the contest. So with that, let's get started.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to welcome Robbie and Robbie's Poetry to the board. So we're getting the party started.
Yay.
Over here. Robbie, thanks for joining.
Yes. Thank you, Robbie.
And just in case Ben needs to go to sleep, we're going to read Ben's first for being on the board. Thanks, Ben.
Oh, very good. Okay.
For being here. So I'm going to give it a read here. And as always, everybody that's on should check out Ben's poem because he has a fan. Ben, so far the last two, I just want to say the last two pictures that you have put on here, the last two of your artwork have been my two favorites. So the one that you did, I think, for my show with the Faziana, and this one here are probably my two favorite that you've ever made. So Ben has his always puts his own artwork there, and it's fantastic. Anyway, this is called The Fight and the Fold. Part one, something. Don't trust a fool with the pretty words. Sometimes I think I'm not a poet at all, just a very vivid liar. And it's easier to find the story explaining my aching than suffering the empty storm that is my taste in music alone. To know someone is listening as I excise my right to beauty, that in the end I had something to be so blue for. You've given a broken man a bit of himself back. Who sits alone at night and weathers the wind, the drink, the smoke, the choke, the chorus and the choir, the sorrow, the cold, the motion, the mire, the fight and the fold, and in the end gathers something to hold. Part two, thorns. Heroes welcomed home in a hailstorm of roses, stripped of thorns because they've suffered enough cuts. The pride of the parades when they were being sent away, and struck from their struts. Welcome home, soldier, the bastard said. In the pine box, just his guts, but not the man that bled. Part three, the kid. You'll be loved, and I figured why wait. And when you will have your head pressed to the glass, there will be all these little lights along the coast roads of imagination, murmuring flocks of comets in the night. When the eternal peach tree decides it's time for beauty's grand finale, and let's go of spring to remind April's flock of snow, and send quickly off to sleep Destiny's dreamer. And kid, there's this thing called love. Do you remember the breakers at Troville? Well, that's how it feels when it wakes you and all pretend comes to end. And there will be drugs that will make you think and dream like God, because you cause you to wander, who will lift you up like water but not hold you there. For nowhere we go, if only we rise. And they'll let you fall a thousand depths like rain. We'll keep you caught in the snare of her diamond eyes, and it will numb, but make no promises to heal your pain. And come the dawn, you'll want it more, anything you ever had before, like the black cat scratching at the door. But you only need only ever look up and see angels leave like silent thunder across still black tides to where they're needed. And there will come a time you realize that the story began telling itself, how long it's been since God yelled, action and emotion. And I'm willing to wager it was the moment you looked away and saw the beacons burn across infinite oceans, all in the eyes of a stranger. And horizons, they say, that's what curves the earth. But birds can see forever, so I guess ahead to them just never ends, and you'll fall in love again before the end of their sentence. Part four, the free spirit. Ben, we had a good thing going here, a dance of death between quiet eyes. Why did you go and ruin this, our unblemished demise? With your hands, your lips, and the premises they let slip and trip the dancers that lie there like landmines. They must dance around or die. Must I be all? Is that it? Must I think the reason for my birth was for us to dance as soap and filth round the drain? Oh, glory and grace, on the maelstrom stage, the center of this universe is that everything. Must I be the compass by which you gauge the depths of your falling out of love? And if your creations, the way you unburden yourself, are another salutation and not art? Because I am not up for that, because something motionless in a museum, even if it's your museum and you made me beautiful, I'm tethered to the winds and will grow restless in the lee. Set me free, Ben. Set me free. I don't want infinity. Part five, the calling. Human being, please know, when you next hug the brink and whisper loving last words. To an uncaring abyss, the mist will lift, and there will be love, because now will never last. It's swimming in, and will soon become ashes of the past. And the tide that you're fighting will lead to beautiful new horizons. Only leaving will reveal. Don't fear the blinding. It's only the baptism by which we become enlightened in all these diatribes. Just to prove the absence of apathy persists, you know it's not the end of the world, right? Our indifferences, the days we didn't love, the times we just gave up, the years we were numb and forgot we were supposed to be young. Look up, love. The storm rages on. But somehow we won. And the calling, the dawn, destiny, only just begun. End poem. All right, I need to take a drink of water after that one. So, Bobby, all yours.
You have to take a drink of water and some oxygen.
and a nap, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, you did a superb job of reading it. And as you were going through it, I had to skip over to the contest to see which prompts Ben was referencing in his writings. And the one that really got me was the thorns he wrote to prompt 37, which when I posted it, I had a feeling someone was going to grab it and really do something profound with it. And he did indeed with this little short piece in his tome here, where he says, "You will be loved, and I figured, why wait? And when you will have your head pressed to the glass." Oh, no, that's the kid, I'm sorry. "Thorns. Heroes welcomed home in a hailstorm of roses stripped of thorns because they've suffered enough cuts. The pride of the parades when they were being sent away since struck from their struts. Welcome home, soldier, the bastards said, in the pine box, just his guts, not the man that bled." Whew. That brevity right there. I mean, he ought to do a vignette of that and send it to our next contest. No shit. To prompt 37, which if you look at the contest prompts, is the you see the angel. Actually, it almost looks like Daedalus falling from the sky into the craggy pit, and it's a very profound piece of artwork, and his piece there is just so stirring. I mean, I was glad I was on mute because when you read the end of it, I did a very loud exhale on that one. It hits me. For obvious reasons, because of my previous service. It's like when I was watching Saving Private Ryan, I was in a hotel room on a business trip. I was very glad that I was by myself because in the last 10 minutes of the film, I was sobbing uncontrollably because when the old man stands in front of the headstone with the captain's name on it and looks at his family and says, "Tell me a good man. Tell me I've had a good life." This one touched me the same way. I mean, those last four lines are just gut-wrenching, pun aside. But the rest of his piece, obviously, great storytelling. I mean, that second one, for obvious reasons, just leapt out at me. The storytelling, the use of language and metaphor, and I like the kid, you will be loved, and I figured, why wait? And again, it's great storytelling. They'll tell you, and they'll let you fall 1,000 depths like rain. We'll keep you caught in the snare of her diamond eyes, and it will numb but make no promises to heal your pain. What a great stanza. I mean, there's just, I'm loath to pick anything particular out of this whole work, because it is just such a, so enjoyable to read. I mean, like, and even the last one, The Free Spirit, with your hands, your lips, and the promises they let slip and trip the dancers that lie like landmines, unless they dance around or die. Amazing. Just an amazing piece of writing again, Ben. I don't know how he keeps doing it. I want this man's brain when he's through with it. I really do. That's just amazing. This man is just a hell of a writer, and I wish to heck he'd come out with a book.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. I've said it before a couple of times. I think he should do spoken word, because he probably writes like I write, where he just, it seems to me like Ben, you can call it if you want, but it seems like you write, you're just basically emoting, you're almost kind of telling the story, and I like that. It's almost conversations that you're having, and I like that, and that's probably why there's the length. He said sorry for the length. I apologize, because if anyone's ever read mine, they're usually extremely long. Although he did beat me, because I counted just to see, and this is the impressive part. It was exactly 800 words. So I don't know if you did that on purpose, Ben, but that was impressive. It was exactly 800 words. But it's beautiful, Ben. I'm just gonna. There is not a lot, and Stellina said the same thing on the board. It's really hard to pick something out. I'm just gonna stick with that first stanza just to give a comment. Don't trust the fool with the pretty words. Sometimes I think I'm not a poet at all, just a very vivid liar. And that's so interesting to say, because it's, you know, you can take that so many different ways, which is always a sign of a good poet. You know, are you trying to just tell? Are you trying to just say what you think the audience wants to hear, or also do you not really understand even what's coming out of you, right? There's so many different ways to take that. So I just thought that was just really, really interesting, and just it captivated me. As soon as I read that, I was just dying to read the rest of it. So I thought it was amazing, and I'm certainly a huge fan of longer works. Ben said that first stanza is not something I wrote, but something I was saying to a friend. Well, it was perfect. Yeah, and I agree, Stellina. They never seem long enough. I want you to keep going, Ben. You should. I think a continuation story, or like a long epic poem that you can publish, I think would be a great thing. Oh,
yeah. Well, remind them that the Rime of the Ancient Mariner has already been done.
Yeah, there you go. Right, exactly. Yeah. The Odyssey has already been published.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Or the Raven. But it's seriously though, the look through that first one, to know someone is listening as I exercise my right to beauty, that in the end I had something to be so blue for. You've given a broken man a bit of himself back. Who sits alone at night and weathers the wind, the drink, the smoke, the choke, the chorus and the choir, the sorrow, the cold, the motion, the mire, the fight and the fold, and in the end it gathers something to hold. Beautifully, the rhythm of that last stanza and the internal rhyme in it is very very cleverly done, very melodic in the way it's written. So.
Absolutely.
Enough of
absolutely.
That. We could talk about Ben all night, but, you know, that would be, we'd have to stop calling it Exploring Ephrasis, and we'd have to call it Exploring Ben Hart. So we have to move
on. which we might do someday. We might do someday. But, yes, we have the.
Yeah, I can't tell. You know, we just one whole, they did that for Ephesiana, you know.
That's true. Absolutely. And I might, by the way, I might be beating you, Ben, because I do have right now, I think I'm up to part 11 of this kind of epic thing that I'm writing. So I think I'm up to about 3,000 words. So we'll see how long this one goes to. They're separate poems, but still, it's an extensive one. So I'm going for the record here. But anyway, yes, let's move on. And we're back to Myriad Dark again, except for this new contest. And if you would be so kind as to read it, that would be great.
All righty. Is it posted?
Okay, it is posted.
We flesh, as they say. Okay. I don't see it.
I'll post it again. Give me a second here.
Please do.
A couple of comments back. Can't keep up with the board here. And
okay.
It is reposted. There you go.
There it is. Okay. All righty. Here we go. There we are. And all these people in cheap seats. All right. Bless their hearts. Okay. We have An Angel's Heart by Myriad Dark. Somewhere hidden in the light of the day and stars flung across the velvet sky to the spinning of prayer wheels laid claim to the sanctity of another moment passing by. In a litany of forgotten saints and martyrs drowned in a flood of the Savior's pain, whose burning passion is unquenchable and outlined in ancient cave prints of the crow. It is in the writings in the tombs of ancient Cairo, once buried in columned halls, inscribed like scars, a place of falcons and jackals who walked as angels among the money changers of the great bazaar. It is held dear in the talons of the sacred eagle, whose wings span the ancient desert dunes, where prophets and seers once prognosticated as told on stone tablets and sacred pathways of the moon. And Bas lays claim as angels meander, wrapped in the sacred wrappings of old Turin. It is a miracle of wonders that never cease, found in the whispers of angels wandering. Let those of faith open their hearts and rejoice as they're swept away in the great dance and ballet, because nothing is as it seems. Caught up in the frenzy of a dream, where once ghosts and martyrs knelt to pray. Among the fertile fields, along the great source, set out in the meanderings of the great river's course, where angels linger among the reeds, planting with love and devotion their seeds. End poem.
Excellent, excellent read. This is absolutely interesting, and it's funny because Myriad Dark does have it as a spiritual poem, and I didn't take it as that at first, but then it started going into that, and I do like An Angel's Heart. A litany of forgotten saints and martyrs drowned in the flood of the Savior's pain, whose burning passion is unquenchable, and then in the writings of the tombs of ancient Cairo, once buried in the columned halls inscribed like scars. What I liked about this was the sacredness that they're describing here, taking how sacred we used to take things, how much we used to, and that's what I got out of this, how much we used to just treasure things, and I get that when I that's one thing I do when I look at history channels and I watch documentaries in the past. It just seems like the humans were so much more in touch with the world. And nowadays, you know, it's just, you know, gotten worse and worse, right, as things go on. Nowadays, people are walking down the street staring at the phones all day. They don't even see what's going on, let alone the natural world, right? But this one is really, really concentrating on that. So, you know, let those of faith open their hearts and rejoice as they're swept away in the great dance and ballet, because nothing's as it seems. Caught up in a frenzy of a dream where once ghosts and martyrs knelt to pray. So just being in that moment of really understanding kind of where you are and what's around you and what's being portrayed around you. And again, the you know, when they would, you know, a lot of times now we're just kind of painting pictures, but they would really, you know, carve these monuments that would stay forever, and it would be a real tribute because they would be so enamored with the world going around. And some of it was probably because, you know, that's what they would do. You know, I always picture people back in the day, you know, thousands of years ago, and what they would, you know, they wouldn't be entertainment, right? There wouldn't be anything. There wouldn't be even necessarily writing. And what would they do? They would listen to the night. They would look at the stars. They would, you know, kind of ponder the day and enjoy the world as it is, which is something that we don't necessarily do. And I think my opinion of it is that that's what this is basically celebrating in a spiritual and kind of a faith, a mysterious way of some of the old, you know, epitaphs that we have left. So awesome, awesome job. And as always, you did a great job reading. Bobby, what were your thoughts?
Well, I was looking at our board, our program board, and thinking ahead, which we seldom do. But I'm thinking I'd like to try and clear the deck for action tonight, if we can get through all of the poems and keep our oratory to a minimum, because especially since we have no guests, so we have no one to cater to except each other. Because, and I will jump the gun a little bit because I'm going to mention this again at the end of the program. The next show, since today is the 13th, the next show in 2 weeks is 27 May. That is the Saturday before Memorial Day, and the contest that I'm going to launch, and I've got it all ready. I just have to. I'm going to launch it tomorrow to give everybody 2 full weeks to really cerebrate over this. It is going to be a very special contest. I'm desperately scurrying to my writing drafts so I can read the correct title to it. I've entitled the next contest, The Art of War, Remembrance of the Fallen, Honoring Memorial Day, and Combat Art and Combat Photography. And so I'd like to make sure that we have the full 2 hours to dedicate to that particular contest, because I have a funny feeling that we're going to end up with some really amazing poetry. Because the artwork that I've collected is spans World War I to the present day conflicts. It is a sprinkling of everything. I've not sorted it. It's photography. It is paintings. It's combat art. It is actually combat artists were anointed, I should say, for lack of a better term, at the beginning of Vietnam conflict. The combat art that you see coming out of World War I and World War II was purely incidental. That was actually combatants, service members that took photographs or drew of their own accord. There actually were and are now combat photographers and combat artists recording these things. I'd like to see if we can get through all of our pieces tonight so that we can have a full 2 hours for the next show. So moving right along, to answer your question, I really like this. I know that Myriad Dark really cleaves to some more somber pieces, and this has that, but it is cloaked almost in antiquity, as Bas lays claim as angels meander, wrapped in the sacred wrappings of old Turin and in the miracle of wonders that never cease, found in the whisperings of angels wandering. And interestingly enough, the image that Myriad Dark wrote to, image 38, is a very simple drawing. It looks like a female angel backed up against a column, and you see her wings protruding out on the other side of the column, and a cat behind her somewhere. And so from that, this beautiful piece of writing, it is in the writings of the tombs of ancient Cairo, once buried in columned halls and scribe-like structures. The storytelling in this is absolutely captivating. You feel like you're taking a walk through history with the telling of this poem. That those of faith open their hearts and rejoice as they're swept away in the great dance and ballet, because nothing is as it seems. I really enjoyed this piece. Again, this is one of those pieces that was crafted very carefully, and the use of language and the command of vocabulary is just spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we can always, just as a, we can talk a little business here. We can always save if we do have carryovers, because we have 12, so I don't know if we're going to get to them all, but we can always do it for the following show. I'm not above, you know, waiting a month to do them. Not a problem at all. We could always do that.
I don't want to make people wait that long.
If we can, yes, so, let's try not to do that. We'll do our best.
Yes, we'll speak very, very quickly.
Absolutely, we'll speed poetry here.
Like the modern Major General.
Selena says, "Yep, she's definitely writing for that one." Yep, no, I'm looking forward to that show. It's going to be great. All right, this will be. I already can't remember who read last. Did you just read this one, or did I read it?
I just read. So this one's yours. So you've got to channel your feminine side. I guess this is by Sandy G.
I will do the best I can with that. So this is by Sandy G, called Peril in a Barrel, Danger in a Daydream. Skipper steady on the tiller, minding deadly rocks ahead. Back arced, stretched out tall, spare hand grasping the sheet. Feet hard on the rail, a fitful ride for a fearless spirit. Sail stiffened, drumhead tight, rigging whistles a salty shanty. The slim mast metronomes, hull and sea meet uneasy, pressing, slipping, sliding, making knots to live by. To founder here is fatal, bow and stern lift and dive, intent to hold this point of sail. Rocks and waves roar defiance, winds spew foam and spray. Death furls his brow in anticipation. End poem. Go for it, Bobby.
Finished already?
nice little brevity. Oh, sorry.
Nice little brevity, yeah. I expected more whimsy from the bird figures, but this is clever. Sails stiffen, drumhead tight, rigging whistles a salty shanty, her slim mast metronomes hull and sea meet uneasy, pressing, slipping, sliding, making knots to live by. This is wonderful storytelling. It's got a lot of nautical reference in it. It's a charming, absolutely charming interpretation of the prompt. And the founder here is fatal, bow and stern, lift and dive. I mean, and you look at the image of it, and it's just so antithetical of the illustration. It's just charming, but the bird has such a serious look on its face that I can see with it. This is, I think, the way that the writer, the way Sandy G interpreted the prompt, is just absolutely charming. And it was always as prompts 6 and 36. So I have to look and see what 36 was. When 36 was a girl reading a book, and her hair is whipped into the clouds, and there's a little paper boat floating in her hair. So a charming interpretation of both prompts. I really loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just quickly say, it's kind of why I picked the music I did at the beginning. I thought this was it was very fun and kind of almost mystical. You know, his poem's very cartoon-like. And I thought this was, you know, it is a whimsical picture, at least the one I'm looking at here, but she really took it almost a different way and had this almost, you know, a adventurous, right, sail stiffened, drumhead type, rigging whistles and salty shanty. So kind of took this character and just had a little adventure with them, which was really, really great. There was a lot of, like, action in here, right? Rocks and waves roar defiance, winds spew foam and spray.
Peril in a barrel, danger in a dream.
Exactly. Back arc, stretched out tail. So a lot of action that they actually put this in. So
yeah.
Great job, Sandy. Absolutely.
Very, very, very imaginative, very creative, a very good piece of writing.
And Selena said, sure, Daniel said I was all man, so I'd have trouble doing this. Yeah, I don't know about that. lesser man every year that comes around, unfortunately. All right, so we have your turn here to read. This is Jenny the Deep, and I'm going to post it here for you, and let's go for it.
Okay. Oh, yes. I this one was one of the animal images, but with on more serious side. It's a cage with a budgie, and you can see cages in the background, and it has a serious note to it, the note of captivity, as you see the budgie with anthropomorphized with arms crossed and snoozing, and you see cages in the background with other captives. So let's Jenny the Deep, Cage of Remorse. Trapped in his oversized black bionic birdcage, got herself in too deep, now is unable to escape, causing a rippling butterfly effect with their lies. She enabled him to capture all of their family inside. Hanging from his branches of hardened envy, a family who loved him, now treated as an enemy. A wolf in sheep's clothing separated a holy unit with disgusting deception, created crazy lunatics. Terrifying tears trickle to her toes, full of remorse, turning lovers into foes. Imprisoned indefinitely for their indiscretions, inevitably fooled by his charming impressions. Had it all, now lost it all with one phone call. Sketchy meetings with him made us all fail. Nothing I can do to save her, as she rots away back and forth, swaying locked in his dark cage. End of poem.
Excellent read and great poem, Jenny. Thank you as always. Jenny definitely is a master of writing kind of dark relationships, which is always very interesting. I like doing the trick that the Phil taught me, which is reading the first lines and seeing how they flow. So trapped in his oversized black bionic birdcage, hanging from his branches of hardened envy, terrifying tears trickle to her toes, had it all, now lost it all with one phone call. So you can almost read the story with just the first lines. And it's really kind of, it says inspired by real life and prompts, so hopefully you weren't going through anything crazy. It says here, wolf in sheep's clothing separated a holy unit with disgusting deception, creating crazy lunatics. That's a very haunting description there. And very, very well written, and it was amazing imagery. So great job, Jenny and Bobby.
Yeah, it says 12, 17, and 18. And 12 is the one with the budgies, and 17 is the bird family with one bird that mama sitting on a branch and the baby tied to a branch. And then it's, that's 16. No, I'm sorry. 17 is you see a wolf's head peering around a tree, but the back end looks like Little Red Riding Hood because you see a child's leg. And 18 is a this one I like the irony of this one. This is a sheep in a woolen sweater. So I was wondering who was going to do what with that. Very creative. I mean, she wove an amazing story of deception and intrigue and melancholy. Terrifying tears trickle to her toes, full of remorse, turning lovers into foes. Imprisoned indefinitely for their indiscretions, inevitably fooled by his charming impressions. Great. I mean, the internal rhyme is lovely in that. And again, great storytelling, woven from a couple, three prompts sandwiched together. Nicely done. Very engaging.
Absolutely. All right, cool. And let's crank away here. And Stelina said, clever and delightful, not an easy image to write to. That was back for our Sandy, so thanks on that. And I'm going to post one here. I'm going to read from my friend, Afaziana. So let me get to that here.
Okay.
And for those following along, she wrote the prompt 45. This is called Steps to a Heart. She witnessed a man troubled, tormented by past transgression, only regrets in his possession. Conscious had thoughts muddled. Taking his hand, she brought her glow, a light with hope to grow, mind open to understand, aware the path to his heart was crumbling spiral steps. She prepared for repairs, knowing he might depart. He had forward brow and downward gaze, blinded by depression's glaze. Yet she adored him anyhow. It takes patience to love one who's been scorned. Her empathy will renew him, warmed. End poem. Awesome, Ophasiana. And ladies first, go for it.
Ooh, I had a cramp that I'm still trying to untangle here. Ouch. Okay, where was I? Okay, steps. Interestingly enough, this was when I was assembling the contest. This was two images, one right next to another. And rather than confuse the two or conflate the two, I separated them. And but when I put this one up, I knew that this one was going to certainly engender a good bit of interest. And I think this prompt was used three times in this contest. And so I was very glad that I did give it its own separate spot. Again, wonderful storytelling. The emotions are very, very apparent, aware the path to his heart was crumbling spiral steps. She prepared for repairs, knowing he might depart. He had furrowed brow and downward gaze, blinded by depression's gaze, yet she adored him anyhow. And her last her last couplet, it takes patience to love one who's been scorned. Her empathy will renew him, warmed. Beautiful, positive way to end this piece. And I mean, in this, it is full, the piece is recognizes the pain, but it's full of hope. For redemption, it taking his hand, she brought her glow, a light with hope to grow, mind open to understand, an interesting rhyming pattern. It took a little bit of a departure, but it's nice because it makes for a different reading. So I enjoyed the rhythm of it, and again the storytelling and the very positive ending. With Ophasiana, usually her verse is dark, but very real. And in this, with the positive ending, I really like that.
Yes. I'll just say quickly with this, really, really good storytelling in a brevity, which is hard to do. And it's the story of this woman in the picture who becomes, you know, entranced with this man who looks troubled, right? She whispers the man troubled, taking his hand, aware of the path to his heart. If she brought her glow, a light with the hope to grow, a mind open to understand. His furrowed brow, downward gaze, blinded by depression's glaze, yet she adored him anyhow. And, you know, that does happen where you're interested in this person. And I can totally see that, you know, to me, mm-hmm. So, you know, beauty's always been something, but it's really what you see in that person. You can just see this, the person sometimes will just glow out from who they really are, and you can see that in their face and in themselves.
Yeah.
And it's really amazing how she did that and transformed that for this woman, you know, falling for who this person kind of really is. So great job, Ophasiana. Awesome. All right, and as fate would have it, again, you get to be Amy's herald, and you are up next. This one.
You get to channel Amy, huh?
You do again. Yeah, I'm going to continue that trend and have you read her. This one's definitely a little longer, so.
I like it. Okay.
grab a drink, gather up, and read away.
And this is, that's the wrong piece. I just... okay, there we go. I knew that looked familiar. Okay, there we go. And we're looking at prompt 45. Let me quickly. Oh, same prompt. I thought so. See, this is what I was telling you. Same prompt. Okay. So this is one of the things that delights me about the contests is how the same artwork can evoke such different poetry. So here we have, by our very own Amy, Thief in His Night. She climbs the time-worn stairs deep within his being, up, up to the very top, seeking the source of his frown. She is the thief in his night, come to steal it away, deft hands dodging all traps, all temptations of hidden treasures. Her searching hands, startled at wetness, black water oozing over skin, she follows it back, back, until she finds the spring. There, dull beneath the sluggish liquid, an object does not glitter, shaped like a stuck thorn forged of metal and ice. She pushes in all the way to her elbows, freezing water tickling her nose, her fingers only just tracing its contours, scrabbling for purchase. Not enough, she submerges, dark ooze clouding her eyes, slipping reluctantly over her ears, but she grasps it. She hauls with all her might, coaxing, twisting, wiggling it this way and that, coming up for gasps of air before diving to the task once again. Finally, after hours of wheedling and pulling, the object pulls free, loosening in gasping increments as the iceberg tail is slowly revealed. Sharp enough to cut herself on its hold, her thieves' gloves almost torn in ribbons, she wraps it in fabric torn from her dress as each new inch is teased away. As it is lifted, the water runs clearer, aqua blue, lit from within. Beautiful droplets caress past her to slide down the chute of his veins. The warm water, as more bright liquid banishes that dark ooze, the spring flowing and filling her sight, the smell, the mood, all lightening. Finally, the end is broken out. She staggers from the water, panting with its weight, yet her tired bones sing in triumph. She watches the spring run clear, the dark hulls of him dawning again, the sound of his leaves rustling in a new breeze, tugging playfully at her hair as it unfurls. The birds of his thought lie down to drink from those nourishing waters, his delicate does of self-worth bask cautiously in his meadow once more. A smile dances at her lips to the tune of her satisfaction, nodding as she is reunited with beloved landscapes she has grown to love dearly. She turns back to those stairs, now brightly lit by lamps, as she staggers down them, readjusting her grip on the slippery prize. Each step from its source, the plunder changes, dull darkness dripping away, alchemizing into gold in her hands. As she steps through his arch out into the open, it is a glittering treasure, a medal of victory to set upon the mantle with the rest, kept hidden within her, far from him. End poem.
Excellent read. And yeah, it's really interesting with the same prompt and the same, I mean, certainly a different feel, different, you know, different direction than Aphasiana.
Yeah.
Same type of a thing where, you know, she climbs the time-worn stairs deep within his being up to the top, seeking the source of his frowns. So somebody who is still entranced with this man and, you know, what can I find out about her? And she says about him, she says, not enough. She submerges, dark ooze clouding her eyes, slipping reluctantly over her ears, but she grasps it. She hauls with all her might. Finally, after hours of wheedling and pulling, the object pulls free, loosening in her grasp, sharp enough to cut herself and holds on. So finally, the end is broken out. She staggers from the water. So she finds this thing. So she really wrote this amazing story about she's just trying to save this man and, you know, how she's able to do that. So really, really in depth. I mean, this is a beautiful story and filled with just great imagery. And you can, you know, I actually closed my eyes when you were reading it, and I was just kind of instead of reading along, because I was trying to picture in my mind what she was saying, and I could see almost like a cartoon like person kind of moving around and doing these things, so just the way she described it. So awesome job. I like this one a lot, as I always do for Amy's. And what did you think, Bobby?
I thought this was a very captivating write. There's clearly a lot of thought in the storytelling. I mean, the visual imagery is so profound. The story itself, how she's the metaphor and the continuous metaphor of her going to this individual's rescue, and realizing what the cause of his pain is, where it is, and self-sacrifice too, because she immerses herself. She says, finally, after hours of wheedling and pulling, the object pulls free, coaxing, twisting, wiggling its way, coming up for gasps of air before diving into the task once again. Here she's realized where the source of the pain is for this individual, and sharp enough to cut herself on its hold, her thieves' gloves almost in ribbons. She wraps it in fabric torn from her dress. She's extended herself almost to the point of self-threat to try and to rescue him from this. This darkness that is occluding his soul and blocking off all light and all life, and it's a beautiful story of self-sacrifice and redemption and renewal, and it is done with such grace and skill. It reads; it's a very well-told story, and again from that one. Prompt.
Absolutely. I agree. Okay, we are cranking along here. So I'm going to post one. This one is by Big E2, who has a bonus poem if we get to that as well. And this one's called Avian Critics. It's Avian Critics. History's heroes here on Earth, all rest and long interred, are now in history books, and yet their names remind, lest we forget, of things they've done, achieved by deed or word. Locked up in statues bronzed and firmly set, Churchill, Nelson, old Queen Vic, on granite plinth in column 2, the common folk who, most impressed, inspect their heroes now at rest. Still stoic at attention, their public to review. To us remain most dignified at best. But birds that travel overhead enjoy a different view instead. Of gazing up, they look down and all around. And when they've found place to squat and rest, do what birds do best. The grayest colors spread all over statues' smooth bronze head. End poem. All right, Bobby, this is a kind of a lighthearted, fun one. What'd you think?
Yeah. It was clever. Wry wit punctuated the entire piece, inspired by that prompt. But birds that travel overhead enjoy a different view instead of gazing up. They look down and all around, and when they've found a place to squat and rest, do what birds do best, the grayest colors spread over statue's smooth bronze head, which very diplomatically phrased, But I thought it was a wonderful observation, aside from the guano reference, wonderful observation of the difference in the bird's aspect or a perspective, not binding them, being airborne, not binding them to the artificial barriers erected by man. Man, earthbound and strangled by his own barriers, allows territories and borders, which you cannot see from the air, to govern his actions. I thought it was very thoughtfully done.
Yes, yes. You read it into it more than I did, but I do agree with you on that. I was more captivated by the, which usually I'm usually reading into these things, but this I was more captivated because when I was looking at the pictures, at first I saw darkness, but then when I looked through all the photos, it really saw the kind of lighthearted fun in the way that he was kind of just personifying the animals, which is why I came up with why I picked the music they did, and that's why I thought this is just great, really just kind of having fun with the. You know, histories here on Earth, in Rest Long Interred, talking about Avian's critics. So I thought it was fun and interesting, and really kind of took them to this kind of world that she made up.
Yeah.
So awesome job. I thought it was fun.
I looked at the historical figures and the references to them, histories, heroes here on Earth. At Rest and Long Interred, and I look at the image of the birds in a basket, and they're up in the air, and they're looking down at Earth, and they're not seeing the borders that are the causes and boundaries that are causes of skirmishes and wars and conflicts. So that's what I liked about that. They're gazing up, they look down and all around, and when they found a place to squat and rest, do what birds do best. And basically, they crap on what we consider, sacred. So I like the illusion of, that the boundaries and barriers are just artificial.
Yes, 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 yes. I agree. And Stelina said, sorry, had to go make coffee. Never apologize, Stelina, for making a tasty beverage to enchant to enhance your day. Exactly. You got to share, though. You got to share.
Okay.
All right.
So,
take a drink and
my anger.
Yep, you have another longer one to read, so go for it. This is all you.
Oh, yeah. This was one of the images that I was really intrigued by this. I will take a quick drink here. Draw a deep breath. My Angels 3. Rooted. I wear his badly marred ego around my throat so I might choke before the next mistake, the next trip into insanity. I grind his shame between my teeth, spit out the paste, apply it as a balm, shimmering nervously on skin, casting glitter at looming shadows. I burrow his esteem deep into my bones. Intravenous, vengeance, venom. April is the new beginning. I false promise myself again. I peel back my layers, reject the rinds that bind me. The earth breaks and blooms. I nourish my roots on sacred grounds. The body is a garden of tainted fruit, of fallen flowers, of apples to devour. I'll paint myself with dirt, with dirty words, with tricksy wits written on with your lips until I am someone else's reflection, a canvas of their rejection. A chorus of tattoos to record bad choices. Rainbows upon my pelvis, wings upon my chest, black hearts where only lovers can touch. There are plenty of scars still left uncovered, flaws imprinted on skin, a flesh journal of your emotional discharges, a map of your toxic attacks. I am painted with your fury, blemished by your lack of compassion. Last time you turned up desperate and afraid, and weakness let you enter me again. I hiked up my sundress. You thrust your trust into me. Let me blossom all over you like cherry trees on warm grass. I was ecstatic for a frozen moment, quivering on frigid fornication, tucked into your darkness, suddenly not alone, suddenly not a child, without love to hold, without loss to fold. Me in half, in half, in half again. 1,000 fires burned at the end of your fingertips, but the feeling didn't linger. Hot sparks faded to gray. You seemed to run away at the first sign of danger, the first sight of anger, the first time my empowerment meets your tragic tantrums. Run, run, run. And back you'll come, twice as many I love yous, thrice as many goodbyes. All the words in this world dripping off your lips, drowning me in narcissistic bliss. All the words in the world except the ones I need to hear. Take me as I am. I miss you more than I miss missing you. End poem.
Excellent read, and there were definitely some parts of that poem that I'm glad you were reading. That needed a woman's touch on that one, definitely. So it's beautiful, yeah, and this is a very intriguing picture, and it's really interesting where she went with this. I mean, you know, I would have thought it more of a, you know, I pictured it a little differently, but she pictured herself, I believe, almost like this tragic, you know, person who's twisted as the prompt is, the picture of the,
yes,
the wood, and twisted into a person. And,
yes,
you know, being able to just kind of see the twisting of the bodies together that she's talking about, and basically how it's, they're obviously making love and they're together, but they're not, but it's not working out. It's not natural. It's not, there's something wrong with it. And she talks about that, and that does take the picture like that, where there's something that's uneasy about it. There are plenty of scars still left uncovered, flaws imprinted on your skin, a flesh journal. Really, really interesting. A map of your toxic attacks. So there's just something, you know, black hearts where only lovers can touch. What an amazing line that is. So really something about how you're with this person, but it's just not, there's something toxic about it, but I miss you more than I miss missing you. So
yeah,
it's that's, still that something that draws her in. So absolutely. So this is really beautiful and just so tastefully well done on Maya Angelou's 3. Awesome job. Bobby, go for it.
It's a powerful, visceral, raw write that lays bare the substructure of a toxic relationship that the protagonist finds inescapable. 1,000 fires burned at the end of your fingertips, but the feeling did not linger. Hot sparks faded to gray. You seemed to run away at the first sign of danger, the first sign of anger, the first time my empowerment meets your tragic tantrums. Run, 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 and back you'll come. Twice as many I love yous, twice as many goodbyes, and the words in this world dripping off your lips, drowning me in narcissistic bliss. All the words in the world except the ones I need to hear. This is just a stunning write. Deeply emotional, intense interpretation of the prompt. The protagonist is doomed to continue on a path to certain self-destruction despite their instincts for survival, warning them away. It's a stunning, grabbing closing line, too. Why can't you take me as I am? I miss you more than I miss missing you. That is so subtle. This is a superb ink, captivating read, just tremendous. I this is a real winner.
It is. It really, really is. One of my favorites by her, by far.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, cool. So I'm glad we got to get to Oak Blue 36. That's the next one, and I'll give that a read. It's she's new to you know, she hasn't been on here before, and she's not part of LNP, so she gave us her permission though, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, wonderful to have her.
And I'm gonna give this a read real quick here. It's called A Whirlpool of Skylines. whirlpool of skylines, an adoration of the sky, a celestial pun, a bird of wisdom, slightly chimeric, slightly chaotic, seemingly plain, seemingly nearsighted, courageous, radiantly smiling, observing myriads of cities during a journey, inhaling adventure, exhaling knowledge, moving from wisdom to stardom and vice versa, with each flight being a rehearsal of an expanding world creation, a demergic delivery, a neuron-blazing invention, a non-conventional thinker, linked to the whole birdverse, all creating globally, self-redignifying locally, everlastingly witty and irreproachable, fatally successful. Its gift is the one of unearthing the previous ages of the evolution, a closeness to perfect solution, a life aired yet mystified a bit, a lightly feathered hit. End poem. All right, Bobby, I read, so you get to comment first.
I liked it. I like the structure of it. I like the very staccato feel of it. Inhaling adventure, exhaling knowledge, moving from wisdom to stardom and vice versa, each flight being a rehearsal of an expanding world creation, a demiurge delivery, neutron blazing invention. I liked it. I like the sharp, crisp delivery with two or three words of different thoughts that carry you through the storytelling. And a closeness to a perfect solution, a life aired yet mystified a bit, a light feathered hit. And the prompt, and interestingly enough, the prompt is the bird sitting on the ground gazing up at a paper airplane. And I thought, how wonderful to see all this in that simple drawing. So I was very impressed by Oak Blue's interpretation of the prompt. Very, very clever, wonderful backstories, a lot to think about in just that little, looking at that little the little drawing.
Yeah, absolutely. And Stelina says Oak Blue is great, great poet, so she's familiar with it, so thank you. And Stelina also says it is 5:45 a.m. where she is, probably 6 a.m. now, so... God bless you, Stelina, for getting up so early and hanging out with us, because I would probably not be up. Although I do wake up in the morning and listen. I don't know if I'd be coherent enough to actually participate, but I might just listen. She said, vivid imagery, a lovely, well-structured and crafted piece. I agree. All right. We are going to try to stick with the timelines here, so I believe we have time for one more.
We have a couple of bonus poems, so I put those on there just in case. But we can cruise by those. I've already put up Worship by Thomas B.
Okay.
excuse me. So let me tee that up. And,
yeah, we should be able to read that. That should only leave us, without the bonus one, should only leave us one for the next show. So that should work. But let's go through Thomas's.
We can do here. Worship again. The stairway and the woman in the at the base. Thomas B. Selected that one and called it Worship. There was a time when I felt as if tomorrow would be the time I got your approval. One more obstacle to overcome, one more problem to solve, one more. Excellence, almost acquired, perfection unattainable. You, a God who called me a child. I never realized how I was becoming you. Every step you carved for me to climb led me to my death, your immortality. When I awoke, there was nothing left. I had found an inner light. The stairs to the temple no longer led me away. I turned left you to a shadow, created a path where my achievements were the excellence I had long sought. I gave me back to me. End poem.
Excellent, excellent. And a totally different interpretation by Thomas. But beautiful, yeah. So there was a time I felt as if tomorrow, so time I got your approval. So she's seeing it, I believe, as like, it says here, yeah, you, a God who called me a child. So seeing it as a little kid, probably looking at the father and, you know, never realized how I was becoming you, right? Every step you carve for me, climb my death, your mortality. Then when I woke, there was nothing left. I turned left, you to a shadow. So that's a really interesting way of looking towards a child looking up towards a person, which is, there's so many towards like their father or a parent, right? So many different ways that you can think of that, either as idolizing, but also as somebody like, I don't want to be this person, and there's darkness there, and I'm trying to get away from that. And he kind of almost covers both areas in here, which Thomas really does a great job of really compacting a lot of different ideas into his shorter works. So awesome job. I think he did a great job. What'd you think, Bobby?
I agree. It was an interesting, but I did not expect the ending to be as it was. Very, very intriguing. Like he had rescued himself from being subsumed into someone else's expectations of what he needs to be, which I thought was a great way to end it. It was vindication. So I've put up Liar,
Agreed.
Liar by Lawrence 67.
Yep. So here's what we can do. We have 4 minutes. I'll give it a read. If you want to give it if you want to comment and then take us out, we should have just enough time. So this one
okay.
is called, and then we should be good. So this one's called Liar, Liar. Now we all lie once in a while. Why, just the other day, old JJ here gave these Canadian geese the wrong directions and sent them north instead of south. JJ bird, hee-hee, my bad, eh? And I certainly fibbed by insinuating that the duck decoy was actually a mirror. Duck and the drakes came out in the droves, a pecan that didn't end well. But Pinocchio, my boy, you lie so much, you've branched out. Just going to say on that last one, that's a great line. Pinocchio branched out. I could not love puns more, so that's fun. All right, Bobby, you get the last 4 minutes to comment and then take us out to the next
It was clever. I saw someone hopefully taking this particular piece in that direction, and I wasn't disappointed. And it was a clever play on words. It was a delightful, whimsical brevity, and it was a very enjoyable read. So we actually
absolutely.
If we want to rush through Pink Fairy's poem, we have one more. I don't know if we want to do that. Let's see. I'm gonna go ahead. And
we only have
like
2 minutes, so
yeah,
it might be.
Yeah, I don't want to. That'd be a disservice to Pink Fairy, so to rush through. I don't like to do that. So actually, I do want to point out though, on Pink Fairy's poem that she was very clever in that there was a group of drawings that I did not include in among David Alvarez's work on our contest as prompts. And she went to David Alvarez's work and picked one of the pieces that I had not included. So kudos to Pink Fairy for thinking outside the box and going to the artist himself, which I've always loved to see, and selecting something that she found intriguing that wasn't among what I offered as prompts. So we will read that first at our next show, and that'll be what we have left. And in the meantime, as I had mentioned earlier, let me see if I can go back to this, our next contest is going to be the Saturday before Memorial Day. And being a veteran, I do want to observe Memorial Day, reminding people that the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day is Memorial Day is to honor the fallen. The credo being no one's left on the battlefield. And having worked in the Marine Corps Museum, I'm going to dip into my knowledge of combat art and combat photography, and some of which I have known, and I will mention them personally. Some of the artists that I'm featuring, I actually have a personal acquaintance with. Donna Neary, George Waterhouse, Gish, Jack Dyer. I knew all of these people. So I've really invested myself in this contest. But it's going to be called The Art of War, Remembrance of the Fallen, Honoring Memorial Day. And I will warn everybody right up front that the intro music is 6 minutes long. But it is John Williams' Hymn to the Fallen, which is the intro music from Saving Private Ryan. And I cannot think of a better way to start. Open that program. So with that, it is now the witching hour, and I've run out of oxygen and vodka. So with that, I will say thank you, Dan, for, as always, a stellar job. We moved through this briskly, had a good time. The people in the cheap seats seemed to have a good time, too, and I thank them for their attendance and encourage them, should they feel like it, to call in. So at that, I would say, ciao a tutti. Buonanotte.
Ciao. Good night. Good night, everyone.